Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
What had been said this week was the Spanish government had given the Catalonian leader until Thursday to end his secession campaign or risk losing regional autonomy. So Thursday was supposedly the deadline for that. Now here we are on Friday night,
correct,
Eastern time in the United States, where it's probably just now crossing into tomorrow in Spain.
Yes.
But so now that deadline has been hit, and indeed Spain has come back. Apparently, you've got the latest news saying they are going to pull the autonomy
right
and from Catalonia.
I've actually got two different sources here, and the one isn't necessarily a full article. And even though it's from the BBC, it does not appear to actually have been written by a native English speaker. Some of the sentences are very choppy, but headline is King Felipe VI says Catalonia will remain Spanish. He told an award ceremony in the northern city of Oviedo that the Catalan government was causing a rift and Spain would solve the problem through democratic institutions. There's a more in-depth article from the UK Telegraph that I will get into about the actual elections here, but this BBC article says the Spanish central government has said that they will trigger Article 155 on Saturday.
Okay.
And it's going to be the first time that Article 155 has ever been invoked in Spain.
And by the way, the Spanish government, as it currently is constituted, is what, about 40 years old? I think it was the late 70s, 78 when they came to be. So not exactly the newest nation, the oldest nation
right
out there.
Other moves may include taking over Catalan regional police force.
Mm.
A referendum, again, the referendum held on October 1st was deemed illegal by the Spanish government. And actually, Mariano Rajoy says there was no vote. It was illegal for them to vote. I don't know what the people were doing that day, but they weren't voting because we said they couldn't
vote. It's just, yeah, right. They don't take it seriously. Although, obviously, they're taking it seriously. They moved in two cruise ships full of police and
right,
had people, you know, getting beaten up because they were trying to go not vote, apparently.
Yeah, it sounds pretty serious to me. Yeah.
Right. Now, jumping over to...
And by the way, remember the old saying, if voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal. And what did they try to do here? They tried to criminalize the people who were voting. They went in, they stole the ballots before
yep
the voting even happened. They went in, they tried to seal off the voting locations to
they
prevent people from physically going.
They arrested some of the election officials.
Yeah. We need to see more secession out there, not just in Catalonia or not just in Spain, with Catalonia trying to leave from Spain. That's what we're covering right now. But any other organization or individual. I think secession should be something that should be able to happen all the way down to the individual level. If you don't want to be part of society, if you don't want to be part of a political body, if you don't want to be part of any kind of group, you should be able to leave that group as long as you're not in some way contractually bound. You know, if you didn't bind yourself contractually in advance, and of course, the government people would argue that you have bound yourself contractually by a social contract, which of course you've never actually read. Nor could you ever read because, well, it's never actually been written down.
You exist here on this planet and somebody claims jurisdiction over you, and because you exist within their jurisdiction, that is your tacit approval.
Right. The social contract basically boils down to whatever we say, and we as the people who aren't you, the government, whatever we say, you got to do or else. That's basically what the social contract is.
Oh, you don't like it? Go find some land that nobody claims. Well, some people tried that, and they're still prevented from going there because, you know, somebody else is saying, well, you don't have authority to be there because we said so, even though it's not our land. The Telegraph says the Spanish government has struck a deal with the opposition socialist. Now, that's not the Catalan opposition. That's the Spanish loyal opposition. So they're not part of the majority of the parliament. And that will force elections in Catalonia by 2018 as part of a package deal of special powers expected to be unveiled on Saturday. on the eve of a special cabinet meeting at which Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy will decide how to deploy Article 155 of the Constitution to bring pro-independence leaders into line. The socialist agreed steps, which would, I guess they mean agreed two steps, which would take Catalonia to elections in January. The Spanish government was saying it was non-binding, and
then
the Spanish government said, you can't vote at all.
Right, they called it illegal.
Right, said it was illegal, and my understanding under Catalan law, because the referendum had been called in a certain manner, that the prime minister or the president of Catalonia was bound to go with the results.
Okay.
Which is why he declared independence on the day that he did. Initially,
then suspended it.
Right. Initially, the Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy said, you're not allowed to have a meeting of parliament on this day, which is the day he was supposed to have made the announcement. And so he said, well, I never actually called for a meeting that day. We're having it the next day. And, well, Rajoy didn't have time to respond and say, well, you're not allowed to meet that day either.
Yeah.
And they went ahead and met like the day after everybody expected. Declared independence and then asked the parliament, hey, hold off on actually implementing this. I want to try, you know,
so
being
they already
civilized
wrote,
here.
So they wrote a declaration of independence, or is that still coming? I don't know
I
if
don't
that's been
know.
Clear. That's, yeah, I have, that well, hasn't been made clear.
Wouldn't that be implementation?
Well, and here's the interesting thing that most Americans don't know about American independence. There was a declaration of independence that was passed on July the 2nd. 1776, where it was basically a one sentence thing that said, we wish to declare independence from the British government. Roser Cobos, a 42-year-old lawyer who had just taken out 1,714 euros from the counter at a bank in Barcelona, said, it's a way of protesting. We don't want to do any harm to the Spanish or Catalan economy. British leader Theresa May on Friday offered her support for the Spanish government as it deals with the deepest crisis in the country's 40-year democratic history.
Isn't that
interesting? Spain has a monarch. Why are they talking about democratic history?
Well, I mean, doesn't the UK government have a monarch as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
And didn't the UK government just go through with a, you know, or they're going through with a Brexit proposal to leave the EU, but she's backing Spain. So the head of the British government, which is currently in the midst of secession.
But see, here's the difference. Here's the difference. Spain's not trying to leave the European Union, and the European Union's not really a country. It kind of is a country, but not really a country. So it's not really secession when you just leave an organization of other countries. Prime Minister Rajoy has been reluctant to become the first Spanish leader to trigger Article 155, but now appears to have ensured that he will have an overwhelming majority when the Senate votes to approve the step, which could happen next Friday. In a letter sent earlier this week to Rajoy.
Wait, this which Senate's going to approve? The Catalan Senate?
The Spanish Senate. Why would the Catalan Senate vote on Rajoy invoking Article 155?
Okay, I missed that. For whatever reason, I thought that was happening tomorrow.
No, he's announcing that they're going to do it, but then apparently the Senate has to vote on
Friday. Okay.
Right.
So tomorrow, the Spanish king or whoever, or the president of
Prime Minister,
Rajoy, he's going to announce officially that then Friday, the Senate can then vote on imposing Article 155.
That's what it sounds like.
Got it. Okay.
Now, why they didn't have that at the beginning of the article, but continuing on, in a letter sent earlier in the week to Rajoy, Carles Puigdemont, president of Catalonia, said that if Article 155 was invoked, he would retaliate by asking the region's parliament to vote on a formal declaration of independence.
And hopefully they'll do that before Friday. This is fascinating because, you know, on this show we've talked about the idea of secession in a lot of cases, and this is we're actually watching it happen in as peaceful, like the Catalan people are being as peaceful as they possibly can. There's I've not seen anything about Catalonian folks smashing, destroying property and being just generally despicable. It's the Spanish government that has been doing the despicable violent acts. They've been showing themselves. They've been giving people reasons to leave. The people who were on the fence before and during the election saw what the Spanish government was doing with the violence that they were engaging in, and that actually pushed those people off the fence into opposing the Spanish government. So really, the Spanish government's its own worst enemy in this case, and it's interesting to watch. You know, generally, in our lifetimes, governments have dominated one specific landmass. And you don't have, unless it's like the federal government and state government where they're all kind of allied together, you've never really had a situation. Well, I mean, you probably have. I just don't know it because this is happening during my lifetime. But, you know, I haven't seen a situation like this where you basically have two governments claiming jurisdiction on the same plot of land.
I was just assaulted.
Oh, no.
I had to yell, oh, my God, I'm shaking. Now I feel better because the cops left and they refused to believe me. A man pulled a gun in my face and threatened me with my life. He assaulted me. I'm bleeding right now.
Yikes. Okay? Why are you calling talk radio? Shouldn't you be, like, you know, doing something about the bleeding wound?
I got my... I'm covered. I got ice on it. I'm good. I've calmed down.
All right.
On a
gun wound?
I'm good now. But listen,
no,
I called...
No, you didn't get shot, did you?
Oh, my God, no.
Okay.
He threw the gun away before the cops got here.
How did you start bleeding? What happened there?
He hit me in the head with a gun.
Oh.
Okay.
What end of the gun? What was it, a rifle that he just came up and like...
No. Let me tell you what happened. First of all, I know this guy. He sat in my house last night. He was here the other night when the cops were here, and I told him to, you know, suck my whatever because I had no warrant. They tried to get in. They stayed at my porch and harassed me because they know that all the cops... Listen, I live in Mayberry RFD. There's a bubble. There's no black police officers. They're all white. The cops come. Now, they were here 2 nights ago, and this is what his whole... And now, I'm going to have two words for you. Cop block. Now, I respect Mark because he did time in jail because of a cop block situation scenario. I've heard you guys...
Cop block wasn't around back in 1989 when Mark went to prison.
Okay, well, I'm calling it that now because that's what I did the other night.
I wouldn't say what Mark did was... cop blocking. I mean, I guess technically, because he didn't talk to the cops.
He's even shaking his head.
He's shaking his head. Nope, not a cop blocker.
Wait, I stand corrected. Forgive me. I stand corrected. I only listen to you guys in bits and pieces, and when you get bits and pieces, you draw your own information, you assume things.
Well, you don't have to do that, you know. You know, we have a website, freetalklive.com, where you can download the full...
I don't have a computer. I'm autistic. I don't use computers. I wrote the book, The Autistic Holocaust, my son, who's autistic.
There he goes. He finally plugged the book. You know, that was actually the longest...
I don't have a computer. I don't own a computer. I don't have a smartphone. I got a dumb phone. I wanted to talk about abortion and the freedom of choice and the right to life.
Okay.
Roe versus Wade in 1973. I actually feel bad and guilty, and that's why I wanted to clear. I've been holding this in for a long time, and I, you know, you guys make me feel good. That's why I call. And the thing is, my girlfriend had an abortion. She wanted to have the girl in 1973. We had a baby. We didn't have a baby because I insisted she had an abortion because her father wanted to kill me. So I didn't want her dad to know. And this is weighing heavily on my mind. And maybe it's the reason I drink too much or whatever, but I'm not trying to park. I can only drive. I got to log everything. I drive all across the country. I'm parked now. I'm safe. I had a couple beers, but I listened to you guys, and I never called. I listened to you guys for a couple years now. And so I just wanted to tell
so
you.
So you said your girlfriend had an abortion, and that was back in, when was it, the 70s?
Okay, Wade versus Roe, that came out in 73. In 74, she had an abortion. Just when the law came, it was okay to have an abortion. She
and you're sad 16. About you're sad about that.
Sad? I've been carrying this guilt for the last how many years? Do the math. Since 73.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to encourage everybody, if they're pregnant, have the baby.
But what good is life if you're being, you know, if it's being lived in an abusive household by somebody who doesn't want to have a child and who's willing to actually...
Exactly. That's why they have foster care. That's why they have...
Have you heard about foster care? I don't know if you're just tuning in here to, like, life in the year 2017, but foster care is a horrible thing in a lot of cases to force on a child.
May I talk, sir? My last girlfriend went through foster care. She was raped.
Are you Johnny?
What?
I said, are you Johnny from Auburn, New York?
Johnny. No.
Yeah, I don't know if That's what somebody who's listening said.
Speaking manner, because there was a guy that just called that kept saying, "Let me explain, sir," and kept saying "sir" a lot.
Oh, really?
And had the same sort of vocal mannerisms.
Quick point here.
I'm sure it'll
Christopher
be quick.
Cantwell.
Yes.
You know, yes.
The racist white nationalist protester who was arrested down in Charlottesville, Virginia.
And last I looked, a human being. But some don't seem to agree with that, brothers.
He is a human being. You know, technically, he is a human being. But ultimately, he's kind of a nasty man in a lot of ways. And I say that as somebody who is relatively close to him. He's a hard man to be friends with. Let me tell you that.
Well, peace, love, and understanding. It's through an love and understanding we achieve peace. But nonetheless,
I agree with
man
that.
Got rights.
He should have rights. Unfortunately, he is being denied them in the form of being kept in a jail cell pre-trial with no bail able to be set.
Quick question. I might have a possible
answer.
This
was over a pepper spray allegation. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, has he has tried to call the ACLU, correct?
I have no idea who he has tried to call.
He might want to try it again if he has already. He might be able to get some help. But if he can't, I might have some.
Yeah? What are you going to do?
Well, Mark gave me an interesting idea, and I tried to cover this the other night, and I think we can get over it, you know? When he mentioned about shooting those piggies between the eyes, the best way, too. You know?
You're talking
that?
About actual, you know, farm animals, right?
Yes, yes.
Right.
Of course, Brother Darryl.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, which, of course, Mark would never do because that would be illegal. But go ahead.
What, shooting a piggy between the eyes is the best way to do it.
Right, yeah, but Mark is prohibited from possessing
that was just
a
theater.
Firearm.
That was just theater for on the radio.
Theater.
We go down in your vehicle there, Ian. Now, hear me out. We dress all in black. Now, hear me out. Hear me out. You know, all dressed in black. I always wear a long coat and a big old wide brim hat. And then you got Brother Dow, you got Brother Mark, and myself. Now, hear me out. Now, we go down the Commonwealth of Virginia. And, you know.
And then what?
Carry your sidearm.
Get arrested.
Yeah, apparently.
What happened? You got your sidearm of choice. Daryl got his. We put Mark on a shotgun. And I'll be carrying a .45.
I'm just glad I'm not in on all this.
What's the goal of this jaunt to Virginia?
I'm going to tell you. We go Bacon. Down there. And see, here's where Christopher Cantwell having problems. And you were right. Going down to Virginia, bad idea. Because he's from the state of New Hampshire. And this Commonwealth of Virginia.
No, he's from New York.
Going to Virginia was a bad idea because there was a clash between white nationalists and anti-fascists. And if Chris Cantwell wanted to continue his radio career, he should have just stayed home and broadcast from the safety of his own home. He probably still would be here today.
So what do you want to do once you get to Virginia?
With the guns.
I think Christopher Cantwell, this going way too long, needs some help.
Oh, you want to break him out?
Pennsylvania. Now, we go down there. That's Commonwealth law. I got jurisdiction regardless of the state.
That would be the Commonwealth of Virginia. I like the idea of breaking Christopher Cantwell out of jail. Brother Ricky, Brother Ian, Brother Dale, all the brothers should just come join me and break him out.
Come on down to Albemarle County. I'll pass.
All right.
That's cute. That was
pretty
funny.
But I do want the bear jerky.
Bear jerky. Now, is that really a thing?
Oh, I'm sure it could be.
Because I know, I mean, that would be really interesting to try out bear jerky. I've had alligator before.
I was looking online. I did find hammerhead shark jerky.
Okay. Sounds expensive.
Hmm. Yeah, it was like $14 for a pack.
Wow. I love
some jerky, but I don't spend more
Not
than like
much.
$5 a pack on jerky.
It's getting harder to find $5 packs of jerky, man. They're getting more and more expensive.
Yeah, well, the CVS often runs sales if you have the CVS rewards card where it's buy one, get one free, or buy one, get one half price.
Yep.
So it winds up averaging out to where it's less than $5 a pack. Just tell me why I should know who Colin Kaepernick's attorney is.
Well, because this animal who is against that is claiming collusion. I tell you what collusion is.
Who are you saying is a thug? Are you saying that Colin Kaepernick is a thug or his lawyer?
He's a thug, yes.
What has he done to make you think that he's a thug? I mean, the guy takes a knee at a football game.
His conduct is definitely, or the way he carries himself is definitely, in my opinion, thuggish.
Thuggish?
Okay? That's correct, thuggish. And that being said, you know.
So you feel like you're intimidated? Or are you intimidated by Colin Kaepernick?
Intimidated?
Do you think that if you...
Hold on,
Ralph. Hold on. Ralph.
A little stay a pariah.
I had read a news article earlier today about this person. I'm sure you guys know all about Playboy and how, you know, this month, apparently we have the first transgender playmate ever. And I have to wonder, why does it seem like the media is so obsessed with transgender people? If they truly are what they are, like this person was male to female, if they truly are a female, why do we have to clarify that they're transgender? Why can't we just say they're female?
I think part of it has to do with, and you know, this is something that was really big back in like the late 80s, early 90s, of this is the first time that somebody of this ethnicity has done this specific thing. This is the first time a woman has ever served on the U.S. Supreme Court. The first time a woman ever did fill in the blank. And I think it's basically a way to where they can, you know, make a little bit of publicity of, hey, this is the first time somebody that had gender reassignment surgery has been the centerfold of this magazine. And then I get some media, and then people are going to be, oh, wow, Playboy's still around? Well, I'm going to go get a copy.
And it's controversial as well. Like, that's what gets the media. Daryl, you, we were talking about this briefly off the air. You looked into the story a little bit, and you said that this person, I forget her name, Ines or something like that, Ines, the individual who is the playmate in the November, December upcoming issue.
Yeah, she's 26 right now. She had...
She's post-op, though?
Gender reassignment surgery 10 years ago.
When she was 16.
So this is a person I did not know it was the surgery. So this isn't like Bruce Jenner where, you know, basically gotten some makeup and then said, I'm a female. This is actually somebody that had received surgery and therapy.
If you were to see this woman naked, you would say, that's a woman.
Well, then.
Ines Rao is her name. The story here at ABC News does have some of her pictures. It has an Instagram, which is Supa, S-U-P-A underscore Ines, if you want to go and look at some of these photos. One of which does show, apparently she got some implants as well, because she does have a very nice looking pair of breasts.
She's a very attractive woman.
On her. Ines Rao. A model, French model, who's going to be the November-December centerfold. But interestingly, she's not the first ever transgendered lady to be included in Playboy. Apparently, that goes as far back as 1991. So not exactly... It's not like they're breaking completely new ground here, but it is the first centerfold
was
playmate.
The first time it happened, was it... You know... Advertised, was it marketed, or did people just not know?
That's a great question, because, and I don't know how you'd easily answer that question.
Yeah, because if this is the first time it's been, you know, publicized, well, we probably wouldn't have known.
Well, the first time a trans woman was in the magazine, she was not the centerfold. She was not the playmate.
Sure.
So this is the person that is the playmate. So
it's a higher rank, but still.
Right, but the point is, even if they did wind up publicizing it back in the 90s, well, we've got short-term memories. I don't remember every detail about every magazine from 20 years ago. There may have been, you know, a trans woman that was the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Let me ask this question. Would it make you feel better if Playboy had a person that is autistic as the playmate of the month?
It really depends. I said it's okay. I just wish that it wasn't being blown up. This is nothing to blow up.
Aren't you blowing it up by calling into the show tonight?
I'm saying that I'm responding to it being made a big deal. If they would have just, you know, said this is a woman, which they're claiming it is, then this would have never been headline news, and I would have never made the call to begin with, and this wouldn't even be a discussion.
Well, why is it upset you so much, though, the fact that they're blowing it up? Let them blow it up. It's their magazine. They want publicity, obviously. If you were running a magazine, you'd want some free press.
I'm not saying it's not within their rights to do it. I'm simply responding to it. I think it's a bad thing to blow it up. They are claiming to me that this is a woman. Why does it matter if this woman was previously a man? Why
well,
does
it
that
seems
to
matter to you.
Equation? It matters to me that they would even mention it.
The people that are closest to God or people that want to do well, actually, we actually have a very narrow path. So if we do something wrong, we would get that karma back right away. So if I get tempted to look at the Playboy magazine and get entertained, we would feel guilt conscious right away.
Oh,
if somebody talks us into stealing something, we get our stuff stolen right away. But you see these evil guys that steal cars and do bad things, and you see nothing bad happen to them for years and years.
Yeah, like those politicians. What's up with that?
Well, you know, the reason is that God allows them to do bad things because they're actually going away from God. So they could have a very lascivious life with 30 different girlfriends and cheat and do all these horrible things, but they only are going to be chastised if they're coming back home. So it was people that are closest to God,
but,
people that want to do well,
yeah,
we have to pay for our sins right away as it comes up.
I see what you're saying. So are you saying that the people who are just doing bad things all the time, that eventually they're going to come back to God and then they got to pay the price for all of that at that time?
Right, on their way back.
In fact, just a quick Google for karma finds the Wikipedia article references Christianity. Mary Jo Meadow suggests karma is akin to Christian notions of sin and its effects. She states the Christian teaching on a last judgment, according to one's charity, is a teaching on karma. Christianity also teaches morals such as one reaps what one sows. I mean, that's the basics of karma. That is karma. That is another way of describing it. Also, to live by the sword, die by the sword. Most scholars, however, consider the concept of last judgment as different from karma, with karma as an ongoing process that occurs every day in one's life, while last judgment, by contrast, is a one-time review at the end of life. But again, a minor, I would say, difference there. And not everybody who believes in karma believes in instant karma, that, you're going to pay right then for the thing that you do. As Sarah had pointed out, she believes that it could be later on in a different lifetime.
Right, she said
lifetime.
300 or 500 years from now.
Right, it could be a different lifetime. It could be many years from today. So it could be instant. Certainly that can happen too. We're talking about the terms of service. Those things that you never read when you're installing software or visiting a website, but yet they claim bind you to whatever arbitrary things that they have written in there. Well, Chris is here with us from thinkpenguin.com. It's Ian, Daryl, and Chris in the studio. Chris, you're sharing with us a story from Tech Dirt about the CFAA, Computer
Fraud and Abuse Act.
Fraud and Abuse Act, something created in the 1980s in response to the movie War Games, which has been, of course, like all political things, abused and used beyond its original intentions.
Yeah, basically, War Games was a movie about this kid who I think launched a nuclear.
That was the
bomb of some kind.
Oh, right. So
I'm thinking of the right movie.
Wasn't an actual nuclear launch, but he made the computer think that there was a nuclear war. And then at the end, spoiler of a 30-year-old movie, hashtag spoilers. I'm going to spoil a 30-year-old movie.
Thank
I know
Darryl.
People get upset when I spoil 30-year-old movies. At the very end, he realizes what has happened and he goes in. And he asks, how about a nice game of chess? And then the computer says, strange game you have. The only way to win is not to play the game.
Yeah. So let's get back into the story here where they're referencing two cases specifically.
Yeah. So there's basically two cases. There's the David Nozzle case and Power.com case. Basically, both involved fairly twisted interpretations of the CFAA. And unfortunately, the Ninth Circuit found both to be okay. And unfortunately, this week, the Supreme Court declined to review both cases, meaning they remain good, if stupid, law in the Ninth Circuit.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.